When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown.
Hello, this is Downtown Hattiesburg Association President Michael Marks. The footprint of downtown Hattiesburg continues to grow exponentially. A robust and expanding economy, arts and civil rights tourism mecca, we're on pace to become the premier city of the South. Over the last 5 years, we've added 136 new jobs, 224 residential units, and 34 new businesses. Downtown is where you live and what you love. This message is brought to you by CBS LLC, proud members of the Downtown Hattiesburg Association. Good evening, Pine Belt, and welcome to another edition of Stage, Style, and Study. We're celebrating 53 years of circuit broadcasting in association with Mississippi's first minority-owned radio station. Stage, Style, and Study airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG, and it's 92.1 FM, and you'll find us on Facebook at WJMG 92.1 FM Southeast Mississippi. We're excited. We got a couple of guests in our studio today. The first one is none other than one-man band icon, Charles C.C. Carter. And then when he's done, we'll have a little interview with Christy Arrington, who is the director of the Miss Black Mississippi USA pageant, which is coming to Hattiesburg next at the bottom of this month. So we'll start with Charles Carter. Charles, look, you are a legend in South Mississippi, throughout the Pine Belt, and throughout the state of Mississippi. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Mr. Michael Marks. Thank you so much, man. Good to see you again. Thank you for having me on your show.
Same here. Now, look, we have crossed paths before this show. When I was a teacher at Lumberton High School,
that's right,
and this was back in the dark ages,
yeah,
back in 1979,
yeah.
But I had the good fortune of coaching an Angela White, who was in my show choir, the company.
Right.
And so she was a student and you guys kind of hooked up. Tell me a little bit about
Angela
that.
Angela White Carter, as she is known now.
That's
right. She's my ex-wife, a very talented singer and musician herself. And, you know, we got together. I found out that you were her choir director.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I first heard of you. And later, of course, I heard about all the other great things you were doing as the choreographer or the voice instructor for the Miss Mississippi pageants, yeah, and all. And so I started following you from that point.
Well, we have all been busy, the three of us, and haven't strayed far from music and musical theater and performing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember that when I was director of public relations over at Forest General Hospital for a decade, I had the good fortune to hire you for a concert series.
Yes.
And I think maybe four times a year,
yeah,
every 3 months, you would,
yeah,
come in and you would entertain our staff, just sort of goodwill, and say, we love you, we appreciate you, and here's a happy present from us. And it's Charles Carter. Man, you had nurses dancing on top of the tables in the cafeteria during lunch hour. Then
people
you'd
in
back.
Wheelchairs.
That's right, that's right. And then you would come back and play a set that night,
yeah,
for the night
for
crew.
The night shift.
And
yeah,
it was
man.
The same thing.
But what was exciting to, yeah, me about that was, you guys were the first company who had banners and posters with the Forest General logo, which I still have in my music room at home, you know. And with my picture up there, one was a life-size, you know, poster with the logo and all that. And that was just, I was like, man, I almost thought I was somebody.
Well, look, we try to do it right. Now, that's the theater in me, because I'm going to have the billing posters.
Yo, you're going to do it big, man. And I got to mention, your decor, you dressed out the cafeteria decor to a level that was definitely, you know, because you come from stage and theater and all, and you applied all of that to everything you did there at the hospital also. Great stuff.
Well, we are common spirits in that we're performing, and so an environment and all that's a part of performing.
Set an atmosphere,
you know?
That's right.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
So, Charles, I know that your background, you know, was you started with church choirs and working in the church. Tell me a little bit about your start there.
Yeah, I grew up in church singing in choir, you know, had family members, cousins who, this one family, the Davis family, had about 8 kids, and all the girls were one. There were 3 boys and the rest were girls. All the girls were one, learned to play piano. Their mom did that stuff. So they started the children's choir. that I was a part of. You know, as a matter of fact, one of those grandkids has been the music director for Ruben Studdard for since Ruben started his career.
Oh yeah.
And I was in Birmingham.
I remember his the night he John won. Jackson, yeah.
And he was one of the but that family, you know, and started all of us kids singing, you know, and my dad was the singer, my mom. So it was something I always did.
Well, you can do worse than have a background in the arts. I can remember my Aunt Hazel, and she was the piano teacher in our family. And so at 5 years old, I was in. I was learning scales. I was playing those cantatas and going to competitions.
Yeah.
And she was sort of set the stage even before I got to first grade.
Yeah.
So, you know, I listened to all of the accolades that you get. My friends, I've seen you do proms and senior dinners at Canebrake. I've seen you captivate the crowd. You were a guest entertainer at the YMCA when we had our annual, you know, day for kids, National Kids Day. And so you've done a lot of stuff. Tell me, why do you do what you do?
You know, I got to tell you, there's a saying that if you do what you love for a living, you never work a day in your life. And I grew up singing, did some bands early years, you know, and thought that I knew I wanted to do that for a living, but I always thought I would be with some band that would travel the country, you know, like an Earth, Wind & Fire or Cameo or somebody. And that just never happened, you know. I mean, at that time, musicians, really good musicians, were hard to find in our area.
Absolutely.
You know, which led to the track show.
That's right.
By accident also.
That's right.
But it wasn't an accident because it was a God plan.
Yeah.
I always say that. But it took off, you know. I can say that my wife now recognized something that I didn't see at the time as I went to do sound for her company. And this friend of mine had a James Ingram track that I sung at a company picnic. And so somebody else asked me to do something. So then somebody else asked me to do something. So then I said, you know, she says, well, you know, you can do this. People will pay you to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's going to pay me because I'm thinking about when I was ostracized in church and nobody wanted me to sing. Nobody wanted me to play. You know, all I did was sound.
Yeah.
Except for when I was a director in my own church.
And it's hard sometimes, you know, when you get typecast in one role. And so, like you said, you went to your wife's company picnic. As a sound technician, you were in church as a sound technician, and so you really never got an opportunity, and people really never gave you a chance because they didn't know what you could do. You didn't get that opportunity to perform.
Well, there were those who knew, but see, there's a difference. There are different types of singers.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who are big and flamboyant, and
that's right.
You know, and I think that even preachers think that those people are the Holy Ghost sometimes instead of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But then you have people like the guy who won the first American Idol.
Yeah.
Who was just a singer.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do anything fancy.
Yeah.
He didn't look, you
just
know.
Just took care of business.
He just sung. He sung on key.
Yeah.
And he did the song the way people knew him. And that's me. I don't do anything. I just sing it the way I know people or the way I would want
it
to be heard.
You know, MTV and videos messed up a whole lot of people.
Because
suddenly it wasn't about singing. It was about what you look like.
It was about what you look like.
I look at Britney Spears and, you know, I'm going, okay, homegirl, now you ain't got a whole lot of talent, but she learned to, she dressed the part, she acted the part,
exactly
she got the video,
right.
She got
exactly
the backup dancers.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
So, there's a difference between real talent and manufactured talent. And you know, props up to anybody who can make it on either way.
That's exactly
right. But I hear
right.
what you're saying.
But for me, so when that started, I basically, you know, I said, well, okay, well, I'm going to have to get me a few songs that people are going to ask me. So at that time, it was karaoke cassettes.
Oh yeah.
And then a few CDs that started coming out.
Yeah.
So I always did sound, so I had a sound system, but I had to go and get I went and got this little boom box that I could play cassettes and CDs because I can get more songs to sing on a CD than I could on a cassette.
Oh yeah, look, I still got my boom box and I travel with it and I ain't ashamed. And just like Coach Deion Sanders, you know, he was having commercials all over TV when somebody stole his boom box.
Yeah, his boom box,
because it is reliable.
It is.
And, you know, technology is wonderful when it works.
Yeah.
But that boom box is going to work.
And so I went to that. So eventually, you know, I said, well, I'm having a problem getting. So I went to the iPod, which I could fit in a playlist. And long story short, now I use iPads, but, you know, it just came together. And as it evolved, I just tried to make it more of a show. than just somebody singing. Absolutely. So I implement lights,
absolutely,
sound, you know, remote control lights, man, when I'm singing, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
makes
man.
A big difference.
Oh, man.
And, well, and then you add all the instruments. You got flute, you got sax.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how you got your one-man band.
Yeah, that's exactly that's how that name came about, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And the, you know, so this sound technician turn performer, you have just been everywhere. I know that you recently performed for several state school board associations
That's
and their
right.
regional conferences.
That's right.
The International Black Broadcasters Convention, Mississippi Black Officials Caucus. I mean, these folks around the world, and this is not just South Mississippi.
Absolutely.
And so tell me what it means to be able to carry the banner of being a Mississippi performer to all of these places.
Oh, it's a big deal because, you know, there's still some places, because I have an all-track show, mm-hmm. that don't really welcome me, you know, and I'm okay with that because my calendar reflects that there's somebody out there that likes what I'm doing. And so we get calls literally every day about performances, and you know, and if like for instance, this is what, the 1st of September,
uh-huh.
so they
second.
The 2nd of September, so they may be out of luck if they're looking for a Friday, Saturday, the remainder of the year, and some dates over into next year.
Yeah.
But it's just a blessing that you present a quality product and people recognize it regardless of their
and
color, their age, you know, any of that. And they want you to come. And so it means everything to me to be able to do what I love.
Well, Mississippi is just so proud of you. And I know that, you know, you continue to serve faithfully with the nationally known Mississippi Mass Choir and then, you know, music and choir ministry at your local church and, you know, helping youth ministry, because you don't want somebody else to go through what you went through. And you've got
right.
an eye for talent. I know you're going to push them
right.
into the spotlight when they're ready and when it's their time.
That's right.
So all that is great. Now, and I know your wife now is an integral part of that.
She
kind of serves as your business manager and takes footage and keeps your files going and
that's
all
right.
that stuff.
That's
so
right.
you're pretty lucky to have a partner like that.
Yeah, she, you know, I learn because I study what others do, you know, what works for them, you know.
Yes.
And so I learned early that when somebody else is speaking for you, people are going to take you more serious than if I was going and trying to,
absolutely.
You know, trying to present myself
to brag on
yourself. People. Yeah,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so all the calls that come in for bookings to me, or if somebody inboxes me or whatever, I send out her number. They talk to them. She sets the pricing, because I remember the first time I was, you know, she said, you can get paid to do this. I said, I don't know how to do that. She said, oh, I know how to do it. So when they call, you know, she talked to them. And I mean, so we have events where, you know, like I was just recently at the Beau Rivage. Mississippi Housing Authority has been a client for years.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They've taken us to so many states, and we were just there doing a 2-hour show, you know,
uh-huh,
which paid a couple thousand dollars.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
so I ain't mad. You
it's
know
living.
What I mean?
It's
God
living.
Is good. I can live off
that. Yeah. Well, and talent is everything. We just had to learn to market yourself, and you've got
That's
quite
right.
a team, but having the talent, having the stick-to-itiveness, because it wasn't always easy.
It wasn't always
easy.
And
I know you had a lot of rejection.
That's right. That's
you know,
right. That's right.
Grooming yourself. But this is great. Tell me a little bit about the leadership skills of John Cooley, who was one of your mentors.
John Corley.
Corey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, John.
John
yeah.
Corley. Yeah,
yeah, John, I guess the second band I was ever in, maybe, was a Mahogany Band under John Corley. You
mm-hmm,
know, his brother
mm-hmm,
Eddie Corley
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
still performs on the coast now. And John was a guy who knew how to play multiple instruments. You know, he played a lot of stuff. And he took a bunch of us youngsters on his wings. You know, he owned all the equipment. He owned the van, you know. And so, but it was a great start for us. And his influence was just everything. He was always a teacher.
Mm-hmm,
always
mm-hmm,
a teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It is just so good to always have a mentor in your life, because no matter what your talent is, somebody has to look at you objective. Look,
that's exactly right.
I can remember my mom played a big role in whatever I am today. Both parents did, but my mom would always just straight up with me.
Yeah.
She says, now, Michael, she says, I'm like 12 years old. She says, well, what? It's time to start thinking career. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I think I want to be a movie star.
Yeah.
And she says, now, we have to let our talents match our dreams.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You
Ma,
know?
Did you grow down with me?
But you know, you need to be realistic, and somebody
exactly
has to
right.
provide support
and guidance.
But honest.
And honest and guidance.
Absolutely. That's
you know,
right.
which is
That's
what
right.
I've done. I have boys who My two youngest boys, they both do their own music, you know. And
they out in Florida, right?
They have different. Well, Chase now, who was in Florida, is on the coast in Ocean Springs.
Okay.
Chris, who is definitely the music producer, he's out in Dallas now. But they're both still doing their own music, you know. Chase probably has about four videos out there. A very talented songwriter, man. But Dad had to do some critiquing and say, "Hey, son, you know, you know, you drift off key sometimes. Your breathing methods are not right. Go back and listen to yourself and be your own worst critic.
Yeah.
And don't just, you know, don't just go with the hype or everybody, because not everybody's going to tell you you're doing.
That's right.
You know,
that's
you're singing off key.
That's right.
I had a niece the same way who hated me. Because Uncle Charles, she told my sister, but now she sings really well. Because you forced them to pay attention, which is what John Corley did for us youngsters. Hey, man, you're singing off a little bit, or you're playing that horn a little bit off. You know, you need it, and so everybody needs that.
I had the good fortune to teach high school theater for 30 years. Before retiring, and one of the best served lessons I think was being able to tell kids, you know, to make it in the world. Yeah, you got to have some degree of talent, but there's so many talented people out there still pounding the pavement of New York, still looking for jobs,
still singing in subways
because they're not correctable, they're not coachable, not directable,
that's right,
and they're not nice people,
that's right.
So people have a choice. Yeah, you're talented, but there's somebody else that's talented that I want to work with.
That's right.
But you know, you putting out a negative vibe and don't want to acquiesce to what the industry needs.
Well, you know, that is one of the things we live by, or I live by in my business, is that you don't have to hire me, first of all. And I recognize that.
It's a
privilege. When you do, I'm going to be easy to work with. When I come there, my job is to do what you want, not to have my playlist so set.
That's right.
You know, because I never use a playlist.
Yeah, flexibility is a good thing.
That's another thing. I never use a set playlist.
Yeah.
I feed off the crowd, so if there are young people, old people, white, black, I can adjust. And as long as you're doing a little bit of something everybody.
That's right. Everybody,
they can live with. They can live with whatever else you do.
That's right.
You know, and I don't use profanity. You know, we don't do anything that out of character because.
Well, this station appreciates you on that.
Yeah, man.
We got an owner that toes the line on that. He said, "No, ain't gonna be no profanity." So.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Because you limit yourself.
Yeah.
In certain areas, people are going to still see your talent.
That's right.
But why do you have to use that to express?
If that is your talent, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
because anybody can do that.
That's exactly right. Talent. So I live by that.
Well, that is great. And I know both of your boys adore you. And as hard as you are in critiquing them, I also know that when you compliment them, it means extra special because they know you know. And they know you've been there. And so I try to follow them on Facebook pages.
Yeah.
And even when they write to you and say, you know, you've been at some of their shows and stuff, they just so appreciate it. And you've been a terrific role model
for them to get
absolutely.
Up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know? Saying, look, you know, if you did a great job, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to belittle you or criticize you. If you didn't do so well, just tell you what you can do to do. But you know
what I mean? Here's where you can go from
here. Because there's a way you can communicate it.
Yeah.
And my son, Chris, who's in Dallas, called me just the other day. He has some new stuff coming out, you know, that's just amazing. Chase is a great writer, you know, and so
it's proud. And we're artists. It's tough to hear critique, but that's a part of that growing process, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to do that. And I think that John Corley served you well.
He did. He absolutely did.
And you've had some stellar appearances, and what I love about it is that you don't just go to birthday parties and events like that. I mean, you have contributed significantly to some real world causes. I mean, like the Waiting for a Cure Breast Cancer Foundation, the Homes for Hope, the Ribbons of Change AIDS Service Coalition, the March of Dimes, Little League Baseball Coach, and, you know, even served on the Mayor's Youth Council, when they were.
Coached Little League for 25 years.
Yeah.
Because another area was, as a young kid in high school in sports, I was always on the bench.
Yeah.
I was in band, but I wanted to do sports. Mm-hmm. You know, my little brother was very talented. I wasn't so talented, but I wanted to be a part.
Oh, yeah.
And so as a dad, and when I started, my kids started playing, I could see myself in those kids that weren't as talented.
Absolutely.
And so as a coach, baseball, I made sure everybody played. In other words, I would start a kid that wasn't quite as good, Mr. Martin.
Yeah.
And what I would do was I put him to make him the second batter. That way, if that first batter got on, when that kid got up, there was no outs.
No pressure.
If the first kid got out, when that kid come up, if he get out, that's just two outs.
Yeah,
we still got some outs to work
that's
with.
Right, that's
then
right.
I start him over in right field where we're usually safe. So if I had two or three of those kids, I would alternate who started each game that all those kids felt valued.
At that age,
and the parents were happy, you know, and everybody
absolutely.
Was happy they didn't mind coming.
Yeah.
Because the most frustrating thing for a parent is to put time in, get my kid to these events, being on a team, and you never see him on the field.
And you hate it when parents get so involved that their kid got to be first string,
got to be first batter.
And at that age, it's just, that may not be that kid's calling.
That's exactly right.
Look, I lasted 2 days in junior high football. My dad had played for Alcorn University, and then my older brother played for Indiana's only Rose Bowl team when O.J. Simpson was playing for Southern Cal.
Okay.
I lasted 2 days. I don't know how many broken ankles and arms I had, but the next week, I had that tenor sax in the band, and I found my calling in music,
you know? Right.
But I wanted to be a part of a team.
That's right.
Wasn't about the football. It was about belonging, about contributing to school and all that stuff.
But I have to say, you mentioned all those things. My biggest and most, or straight out of the Bible, where the Bible says that your gift will make room for you and put you before great men. Muhammad Ali was known as the what? The greatest.
He's the greatest.
Right? So, one year, I was doing a, I was asked to come and do music for a family reunion in Jackson.
Okay.
Because somebody, a friend of mine from Alcorn, told their friend about this guy. You know, ask him, did y'all have any entertainment for your family?
Yeah.
He said, no. Well, we got this guy who comes and do the Alcorn fundraising every year. It turns out that the lady whose family it was, her husband was one of Muhammad Ali's best friends.
My goodness.
He lived in Chicago, and Muhammad Ali had a home in Louisville, Kentucky, right? So I went and did that reunion, and the lady says, well, you know, we're part of the Muhammad Ali Foundation. We have our annual foundation big televised event coming up in 2 weeks. We never have music for an after party. We want you to come to Louisville and do that music. Well, they invited us up. We had a big Sprinter limo ride with with them and all that stuff. They showed us around, toured the Ali Museum. But that Sunday after the event, all of their invited guests were invited to Ali's home.
Stars.
In Louisville. Yes. Now
you've come a long way from being the sound engineer.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Listen.
Yeah, that's
now,
full circle.
I did not get to meet Ali, but he was at the house. And the reason I did, like the event the night before, he was there alone. He was sickly. So he went to bed.
Yeah.
But I have pictures with his wife.
He was in the house
now,
with him.
I have pictures. That's what I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, I
sat in the champs. I sat in the champs chair in the theater room.
And you
hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we were, man, I'm talking about the word just came alive to me that your gift will make room for you and put you before great men. And we got to go to Muhammad Ali's
God
home.
Works in mysterious ways.
And he died a year later.
Isn't that something?
Man, I'm talking about, it's just
what a
just
treat.
An amazing
absolutely.
You know, thing that I've had to experience in this music.
Well, we're just so proud of you, and we love how you represent Mississippi. And I love that you always find a way to give back. To
always.
Local charities, that type of thing is just so important. Will you sing something for us today?
Oh man, let's see. Let's see if this battery's gonna hold up.
I got a boombox by here.
That's 1%. I think I can come up with something.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been doing. There's a song that Elvis did way back in the day. You know, that was one of my favorite songs. My battery's not gonna last on this thing, but I'm gonna do a little bit of it.
All right.
If I can pull it up here, go to my playlist. But I want to say while I'm getting this up is I appreciate the opportunity to come in, Mr. Marks. You're one that always reach back into the neighborhood, into the community, and just involve and engage people. And I want to say I appreciate you for that.
Absolutely, it's what we do.
Yeah. So, I don't see that, but I'm going to do this song. I'm going to do this song right here.
Just a little something. Sorry.
Just a little something. Okay, where is it? There
it is wonderful just to have a repertoire to go through.
Oh, it really is.
I know one song.
It's on my tablets, my phones, and I know if I started something. Okay, let's try this right here. Let's see. Okay, Can't turn his Wi-Fi off.
All right. And while you set that up, I want to remind, you got it? I want to remind folks about the Image for Teens conference that's coming up on September the 24th at 10 a.m. at Jackie Dole. And then we've also got the historic Mobile Street Festival coming up on September 30th. Yeah. And October 1st, we'll have Councilwoman Deborah Delgado to come in to pump that up a little bit. And then on September the 10th, the Downtown Hattiesburg Association's going to be sponsoring Brews and Bites. So lots of food trucks brews.
Yeah,
come on downtown.
We're loving the way the city's just doing things now, you know. And so it's just awesome. It's a great city to live in.
It is. So Hattiesburg's a beautiful place to live and rear family. And downtown in particular, which is the center of all the activity, it's where we live and what we love. You know?
I love it. Let's see if this track is going to play off my phone here. A little bit of Stevie. I don't think my Bluetooth is on. Nope, it's not on. Okay, well, let's do this. Sometimes in our life, we all have pains, we all have sorrows, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. So lean on me, Mr. Marks, when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Let's do this little part. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Man, what a privilege for me to background for the one and only one-man band, Charles C.C. Carter. Charles,
thank you so much.
Appreciate what you do and appreciate you stopping by today.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Christy Arrington, director of the Miss Black Mississippi USA pageant that's coming to Hattiesburg. Good evening, Pine Belt. We're back for a quick second segment of Stage Style and Study. Our guest now is Christy Arrington, who is the Miss Black Mississippi USA State Pageant Director. Christy, welcome.
Hey.
We're delighted to have you in our studio. And look, on the tourism side of Hattiesburg, we love when people pick Hattiesburg to host their state conferences, pageants, organizations, sporting events. So thank you, first of all, for making a commitment to Hattiesburg. Tell us a little bit about the Miss Black Mississippi USA pageant, when and where it's going to be in downtown Hattiesburg.
Sure. Thank you so much for that introduction, as well as that nice greeting to the hub city of Hattiesburg. So I am Christy Arrington. I am the state director for the Miss Black Mississippi USA pageant, which is the Miss Black USA state preliminary competition for the state of Mississippi. It is for young ladies and women of ages 13 to 45. We have a teen division, which is our talented teen. Our current reigning queen is Miss Jaria Fulton. And then our Miss Black Mississippi USA, who is on the call just as well, is Brianna McPhail. And then our Miss, which we did not have anyone to go to nationals this year, but the Miss division is for ages 28 to 45. And that division is really cool because you could be a mom, a divorcee, or a wife. So professional women are able to compete up to age 45 with this system. Another great thing about the Miss Black USA system is that it is out of Washington, D.C., which is the nation's capital. So ladies and girls come to the national competition. It's annually in August and compete for over $5,000 in scholarships. A great thing this year, though, is that they actually provided full ride scholarships to the teen division to attend Delaware State University. And then for the Miss division, the University of the District of Columbia provided a full ride scholarship to the winners. So that, amongst other opportunities and experiences that they have. So on the Mississippi level, next month, this month, my gosh, that has already came. So on September the 18th, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, of course, at the Jackie Dole Sherrill Community Center at 3 p.m., three young women will walk away with the opportunity to represent the state of Mississippi and compete at the national level in 2023.
Well, how exciting. And look, we always support those competitions that award scholarships to deserving young women. I just think that we can't do enough for our wives and daughters and young girls. And thank you for providing such a role model. Now, who have you got with you this morning?
So this morning I have Miss Brianna McPhail, who is Miss Black Mississippi USA 2022. And Brianna actually just came from the national competition, so I'll let her kind of talk about her experience, if okay. That's possible.
Brianna, tell us a little bit about what this experience has meant to you.
Listen, this experience has truly been a phenomenal one. I thoroughly enjoy going to represent the great hospitality state of Mississippi on a national level. I had so many things that I was representing as I went to DC. I was representing that small rural town of Yazoo City, Mississippi. I was representing Black women and Black excellence from Mississippi. I was representing the plus size community. I was representing what it means to be a truly intellectual, versatile, full-figured Black woman from Mississippi, and not having to change anything about who I am to go and represent my great state on that stage. So I had a phenomenal time. It was a great experience. I met a lot of great women. I love the Miss Black USA pageant organization because it really hones in on what it means to literally be the epitome of Black excellence. It hones in on what it means to be a strong Black woman, that we accept every shape, we accept every size, we accept every hair texture, we accept the Black woman. And just being a part of this organization and a part of that memory was just completely phenomenal.
Well, listen, I your comments are right on cue. As Black women rule the world. You know, you look at the infrastructure of our nation today, we've got a sitting vice president, the United Nations ambassador, a new Supreme Court justice. I think Black women are coming into their own and finally being recognized for the work and the backbone of support that they've always provided to this country. And so I'm just thrilled. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 6 years when I was a leader at the National Education Association, trying to represent for our 3.3 million members. And it's a beautiful city. So I know you had a great time. But what I'm really impressed with was something Christy said. You have been offered full 4-year scholarships via your participation in this. And that's really what it's all about. So kudos to you for representing us. Look, when you said plus sizes, I'm thinking how many big and tall shops have I been in? Thank you for representing all of us. And we're not all wearing Barbie doll clothes and size 2 shoes. So thank you for that. And congratulations to you on this honor. Listen, is Jaria with us?
And I actually tried to reach out to mom because Jari is at school.
But okay, all right.
Come on. But I'll speak on her behalf as well.
Well, listen, so, Christy, go over then for us with the time and the date one more time of how folks can attend the Miss Black Mississippi pageant, which is a preliminary to the Miss Black USA pageant.
Sure. So the time, date, and location is September 18th. The event time is 3 p.m. It's at the Jackie Dole Sherrill Community Center.
Okay. Well, we look forward to it. And I do recall you were a contestant back in the day in the Miss Hospitality competition, another statewide pageant that tourism here in Hattiesburg sponsors. And, you know, you are doing what we have asked our contestants to do, to be exceptional young women and to give back to their communities. And you are doing that. So Christy Arrington, Miss Black Mississippi USA State Pageant Director, we are congratulating you on your work. And we look forward to seeing your reigning queens, including Brianna, come to the Hub City at the Jackie Dole, the Jackie, as we call it, to perform. And we wish you the best of luck. We can't wait for you to come to the Hub City.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exciting you. Things are happening downtown. We appreciate you. All right, folks, you've been listening to another edition of Stage, Style, and Study. Next week, our interview is with Dean Metter Smith, who is a nationally recognized author and owns the Metter Homestead here in Hattiesburg. She is fascinating, and I had the opportunity to work with her when I taught at Hattiesburg High School. She was a show choir director. So can't wait to talk to Dean Metter Smith next week. Have a happy lunch hour and a very safe and prosperous Labor Day weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heartbeat of the Hub, WJMG 92.1 on your FM dial. It is now time for Stage, Style, and Steady, featuring Michael Marks. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Stage, Style, and Steady, featuring Michael Marks, right here on WJMG 92.1 FM.
Speaker. It's DJ Cypher Lead in the mix.
Some stations lead and others follow.
All you copycats, get off of my tip.
Accept no imitations. Hattiesburg, Laurel's number one. WJMG.
Fresh.
92.1 FM.
Exclusive Looks Beauty and Barber LLC is located at 1425 North Main Street.